So we bring in our pal Omar Kelly to give us what's on tap, brought to you by Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager and the official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. Omar, I can imagine you're really excited to see your buddy Jordan Phillips again. It's been a little while.
Oh, we're starting there?
Well, I mean, listen, Omar, in all seriousness, I've seen the comments he's made on Instagram, what he told the Buffalo TV station recently. Pretty clear that Jordan Phillips is blaming everyone for his failures in Miami other than Jordan Phillips himself.
The fact that he basically is like, screw professionalism. Yeah, you did that your whole career. So, yeah, let's not act like you're just going to screw it for this one game. No. Jordan Phillips wasn't a pro. He wasn't respected. Guys liked him, but they would label him lazy, and they knew they weren't always getting best effort. He wasn't very well coached or coachable. And, you know, in fact, Vance Joseph wasn't even shy about calling him out when he was the defensive coordinator and flat out said, Jordan only plays well when he's demoted or he's called out. Like, the only practice he really had that was good was after me and him got into an argument over Twitter and I called him out for the fact that he was lazy. And then, you know, he wants to put on a show. Well, dude, you could practice like that every day. You could play like that. Like, and I do fully expect on Sunday Jordan Phillips will have a monster game. Jordan Phillips might hurt Ryan Tannehill.
Wow.
Jordan Phillips wants to make the Dolphins franchise pay. And he will make his presence felt. All of this antics and anger and whatever, it's going to make him a minimum player next year because he's toxic. But, you know, it is what it is. Let the games begin.
Jordan Phillips also, I think he guaranteed there will be more Bills fans than Dolphin fans at Hard Rock Stadium. I mean, I guess they travel kind of well, but it's not like the Jets.
No, they don't travel that well.
That's
ridiculous. If the Jets travel well to Miami, it's because all of their fans decided that that's the one travel game that they're going to go to. The Jets are not a national team. The Dolphins are a national team. Despite what you want to say, I go to a road and I tell you, no matter where you are, it's going to be 30% Dolphin fans there. And a lot of times, let's set the record straight. A lot of the time, when you see a large contingent of Baltimore Ravens fans or Oakland Raiders fans or Arizona Cardinals fans in Miami, it's not because there are that many displaced fans. It's because most fan bases have a contingent of fans that travel, and they generally pick one road game a year to go to. And if you've got eight choices of places you want to be, generally I'm pretty sure Miami's number one on that list.
I appreciate what you say, though, about the Dolphins being a real national team. I can remember, you may have attended this as well, in 05 when Dan Marino was inducted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I went up to Canton for that, and Steve Young was getting inducted in the same class, so I thought maybe it'd be kind of 50-50, but it was like 90% Dolphin fans there, and it wasn't like it was just all people from South Florida. I met Dolphin fans from Ohio, yeah, from Pennsylvania, I met, mm-hmm, which, you know, was where Marino was from, so that probably helped, but I met Dolphin fans from the West Coast, from all over the place.
I see it on a regular basis, and I'm not shy about calling it out, and my peers will privately say it. The Dolphin fan base nationally is a lot stronger than the Dolphin fan base locally.
I don't argue that. I really don't.
No. It's not even a debate. When the Dolphins go on the West Coast, I would say there's 40% Dolphin fans because everybody on the West Coast, it doesn't matter what state you're from, if you're a Dolphin fan, you go to the game. And I understand now, because I've covered the team for 11 years, why that fan base has been built. It's been built on the back of Dan Marino, whereas the Dolphins were that one national team during Marino's entire career, where no matter what, they were the early game on the West Coast, so fans got to watch them at 1 o'clock before they watched their real game, the team that they cared about or was local, at 4 o'clock. And in Europe, they only really showed one game, and it would generally be Dolphins games. And that's where we once were as a franchise down here in South Florida. It's no longer that. If you're going to put a team on, it's going to be the New England Patriots. But the Dolphins used to be that team, used to be that franchise. Because they had Dan Marino, who always put on a show, they had national, if not worldwide appeal.
We're joined by Omar Kelly, covers the Miami Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. What are the odds, Omar? Is it like 10%, 5% that Danny Amendola actually plays on Sunday?
I would put it at 5%, maybe 10, be generous. This is not a, you know, props to Danny, because I know nobody's ever going to say it, but he probably played shot up and on Tortall and showed he's a tough guy, and, you know, and commend him for it. But you're going to see Isaiah Ford, you're going to see Kenny Stills playing in the slot, you're going to see Kenny Stills likely returning. I don't see any way Danny Amendola plays on Sunday. Could be wrong, but I doubt it.
Is there any chance we may see, and I'm not expecting him to emerge as a Pro Bowler, but just more plays being made on offense by Leonte Carew? Could last Sunday have been the start of him becoming some kind of a contributor?
My vote is going to be no on that, but I mean, let's be real about it, and no disrespect to Leonte Carew. I think he does have talent, but that was a lucky play. That was a lucky play. You out-muscled a very small and scrawny cornerback in Pierre Desir, who I'm not a fan of, haven't been a fan of since the draft process. He basically has no muscle to him. Lucky play. That should have been an interception. You caught it. You muscled it out of his hand, which good players do. And then you ran, sprinted to the end zone. Will he ever produce a play like that in his NFL career? I doubt it. No offense, but I doubt it.
So, Omar, you know, Kenny Stills said what he said yesterday. And I, to me, even I wasn't in the locker room, you were. But when I heard the soundbite, I didn't think it. To me, it didn't sound like he was trying to throw Ryan Tannehill or Brock Osweiler under the bus, and he did afterwards go to the media room and try to clarify it. Well, what did you think he meant when he said, I can't throw the football to myself?
Listen, I'm so glad. This is why I enjoy talking to you. And this is not a knock on any of the other hosts, but maybe because you listen to me all week with every other host and you just, you know, or maybe it's because it's got Friday, but we always have these great conversations. And this is a conversation that I'm glad I have the opportunity to have with you. Me and my peers, not even me, because I really just, you know, this is what's wrong with the media and why athletes hate us. Because we sit there and we talk to Kenny Stills for basically 4 minutes. He says everything about team, everything about being supportive of his teammates, everything about saying, you know, he says, I am open. I'm just not getting those opportunities. Then at the very end of a four-minute conversation where he does nothing but talk team and, you know, be the good captain, he says, hey, after we continue to badger him about how frustrated he is, he's like, hey, I can't throw the ball to myself.
Right.
And you know what we do in the media? Gotcha! Like, that's it, because that's what creates headlines. It was not the context of what he was saying. He said a lot of things, and I have the whole video. They were my questions. So, like, they were my questions for a story that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and what we in the media run with is the end, the final clip where he's like, I can't throw the ball to myself, like, of us badgering him. He's saying, literally, I can't throw the ball to myself. Now, if I'm going to be Kenny Stills' translator and pull my key and peel, I will say Brock Osweiler's horrible at throwing the deep ball.
Fair.
I'm a deep ball player.
Yeah.
So that's why I was throwing the ball 6 times in 5 games. I'm sitting here running clean outs for everybody else on the team. And unfortunately, I could do more, but that's all they've had me do. And the fact that Albert Wilson and Jakeem Grant, the other two guys that can run clean out routes, aren't here means I just got to be the guy doing it. And it's not fair, and maybe I can do other things, but, you know, I'm doing the best that I can for my team. But I can't throw myself the ball.
Now, even with Tannehill back last week, only one catch for 6 yards, but do you think that one game, was that an aberration? Yeah, do you think moving forward, assuming Tannehill stays healthy and Jordan Phillips doesn't knock him out of the game this week, do you think Kenny Stills becomes a bigger part of the offense now?
Let me ask you this question, Dono.
Yeah.
What other receivers does he have?
Leonte Carew and Devontae Parker. So, yeah, I think Kenny Stills has to become a bigger part.
Yeah, Devontae has one good shoulder. Bryce Butler is in his second week of actually knowing the offense.
Isaiah Ford
has just been promoted off the practice squad. 2 months ago, Leonte Carew was one of the biggest busts of this decade. Like, who do you want him to throw the ball to?
Kenny Stills is literally the only guy, and maybe Kenyon Drake out of the backfield.
And Kenyon Drake's got one good shoulder, too.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're, you know, yeah, you got tight ends, but if you're Ryan Tannehill, like, and here's the problem, which is something that I didn't think about until offensive coordinator Dial Loggins pointed out. Yeah, our opponents know that, too. So, yeah, they're giving him extra attention and saying, beat us with the one-armed Devontae Parker.
Your feeling on the game, Omar, Sunday. Dolphins are about a 5-point favorite, 4.5, 5-point favorite. You know,
yeah.
I know the Bills have won a couple games lately, but I don't think that team is any good whatsoever. Do you think the Dolphins get another home victory? 4-1 at home.
Yeah, I do, primarily because I think they do a good job of confusing rookie quarterbacks. I think they do a good job of cooling down turnovers when they get those opportunities and chances. And I also think that the pass rush is beginning to heat up and probably will get home on Josh Allen, who's probably never faced Cam Wake. The only neutralizer that I think in my mind is, and wait for it. Are you ready for it, Doc?
I'm ready.
Jordan Phillips wrecking the game.
Oh, see, I knew it. I should have known you were going to go with that. I mean, it is kind of scary. Like, Jordan Phillips has been motivated, like, twice in his life, and this will be the third time. So that is kind of frightening.
Yeah. Oh, he's motivated. And you know he's good when he's motivated.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the reasons why I give that guy such a hard time is, like, I can see what he's capable of physically.
Oh, yeah.
But mentally, he just cannot put it together on a consistent basis.
He can't. He you know, and I hope this gets to him. Like, the problem that people have with players like him, and problem I have with players like him, they call him dogs, and not dogs in the good way. They can't keep their foot on the gas. They're lazy dogs. And unfortunately for Jordan Phillips, he needs somebody to constantly motivate him and light a fire under him. I don't want a player like that on my team, and neither does Adam Gase. Now, unfortunately for Adam, Jordan's motivated now because you embarrassed him. You basically highlighted the fact that, hey, he's not a good teammate. He doesn't always work hard. But when you do that to a player, you got to deal with the consequences. And, hey, the consequences are he's going to try to hurt your quarterback.
Yeah. And, well, it's all going down Sunday, 1 o'clock at Hard Rock Stadium.
Now, like, if you want to hurt Adam Gase, let just take this piece of the conversation.
Sure.
If you want to hurt Adam Gase, which he does want to hurt Adam Gase, what do you do to Adam Gase?
You hurt Ryan Tannehill.
You hurt it. You hurt his precious.
I love how you just referred to Ryan Tannehill as his precious, but he is. I mean, he really is. Although he's not precious enough to him to actually keep the ball in his hands on 3rd and 10, but that's a whole other story.
Oh man, if I'm Ted Larson and Jake Brendel and Jesse Davis, he can't play with Jesse Davis. Jesse Davis is a grown man. Jesse Davis is gonna pip slap that. But if I'm Jake Brendel and if I'm Ted Larson, man, I'm gonna be on my P's and Q's because Jordan Phillips is out to hurt somebody, and you know exactly who he's out to hurt.
I do. Omar Kelly, you can check out his work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Follow him on Twitter at Omar Kelly. Always appreciate your time, Omar. Great stuff as always, my friend.
All right. Talk to you later, Donna.